takes the snap, gives it to Adrian, walks up the middle across the 10, driving Cardinals to the end zone, touchdown! Oh, what a great run by the great Adrian Peterson! It's a 15-yard run! He stood up a member of the Cardinals, drove him backwards 4 yards, and the blowout's on!
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen from the Sports Authority Studios. Happy to be joined now by Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier. An interview with Christian Ponder is coming up a little later. Sorry about the loss last Sunday night. Just to touch on that momentarily. Losing at Soldier Field happens to a lot of teams. It's been tough for the Vikings to win there. The way the game shook out, are you still a little shocked?
You know, one of the things a friend of mine reminded me early in the week, Paul, and it's something I had to remind myself and our team of, is there's a 24-hour rule in our league.
Yep.
When those games are over, win or lose, you have to put them behind you, move on to the next one, and you have to be able to do that. Otherwise, it can carry over and create problems for you in the next ball game, and that's what I've tried to do, and that's what I have to do, and that's what our team has to do.
Let's move on. Border battle. Packers are pretty good, aren't they?
They're very good. I mean, they're undefeated. They're defending world champions. We'll have our hands full, but I'm so grateful that we're playing this game at home in front of our fans at Mall of America Field. So it's going to be a great game. We're looking forward to it.
And if you win the game Sunday, there will be nothing frustrating about it. You'll get win number two. You'll beat maybe the best overall team in the NFL. But will there be a little side of you if you beat them where you look back and you're like, man, if we had just done this and just done this, if we can beat them, we can beat anybody.
Well, I do believe, and I've told our team that we can beat any team in this league. And the fact that we're playing at home on Sunday, you know, gets us excited. And we need to go out and play well.
Leslie Frazier is our guest, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Running backs coach James Saxon coming up shortly. Talk about his stable. Aaron Rodgers and the maturation of Aaron Rodgers. What have you seen most about Aaron that has improved him over the course of the years? Granted, he has a lot of nice skill position guys around him.
Well, they have improved the talent around him, but he is probably the guy that has improved the most. Early in his career as a starter, he was a quarterback who would drop back, and if he didn't get his first read right away, he was going to take off or hold the football in the pocket, and there were a lot of sacks with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Well, now it's hard to get sacks on him because he gets the football out. He's extremely accurate with the football, and even if you blitz him, I mean, you can have a free blitzer. The ball is out. So he has matured quite a bit at quarterback and really has become a great leader for the offense.
You know, and it's not like I'm talking to Greg Williams, defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints. We're not imploring high-low things after a quarterback lets go of the ball. But if you hit somebody, it's a little different as to how they look at the game. And Jared Allen's had a lot of success against this team before. And again, we're not encouraging any chicanery or anything, but it's funny what happens to people after they get hit a few times, right?
Oh, no question. Any quarterback in this league, if you hit them a few times, it changes their outlook on the game. So we want to try to get people around them as much as we can without exposing our secondary, but we like to be able to get some hits on the quarterback.
James Starks, Ryan Grant, how do they run?
James Starks is a guy who's come on the scene of late. He really was a big part of their playoff push a year ago. Tough, big, strong, fast running back. Ryan Grant, coming off of knee surgery, has really come along. He's just about at full speed now, and he's making a difference. They are quite a tandem.
And how do they use Jermichael Finley compared to Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Randall Cobb, the rest of the guys?
Well, it seems as if they're always looking for mismatches. He plays the tight end position, but he can line up as a wide receiver. He can line up in the backfield. He's all over the place, and it becomes a mismatch at times when you put a linebacker on him, and even some safeties. You know, he's quite a talent, and he's a guy that Aaron looks for quite a bit.
Christian Ponder gets the call for you, 12th overall pick in the draft from Florida State. Couple of practices now, Wednesday and Thursday. I know he was at the facility early every day this week. He's obviously very excited, but he seems to have a cool and a calm to him, too, that you need as a quarterback, right?
No doubt. I mean, he showed great composure and poise in that ball game that he got into against Chicago, and That really impressed our coaches, just the way he handled things. The game wasn't too big for him. It wasn't too fast for him. So he has that unique quality that you look for in a top-flight quarterback, and looking forward to watching him play.
Does he seem like the guy who will be the first into the meetings, the last to leave the meeting? He's going to want to make sure he knows everything about the blitz responsibilities. And he's such a smart guy, and we've heard about this for so long, that you would think, don't overwhelm yourself. This is all new. But when you can absorb what he can absorb, he's just really, really into this.
Paul, it's almost as if you're in our building every day, because from the day that he was named starter, he has been the first in the building, the last out of the building, the first on the practice field, the last off the practice field. That's who he is. I mean, he's really embraced this opportunity, and if there's anybody that has a chance to be successful, it's Christian.
No disrespect to Donovan McNabb, but he said after you made the move that he was surprised you made the move. Mm-hmm. Did that surprise you that he said that?
Donovan is a classy guy. He's a pro in every sense of the word, and so appreciative that he decided to come to Minnesota and try to help us to get our season going. And I'll always have a ton of respect for him. And the fact that he would be willing to stay here and help Christian develop over the course of this year says a lot about Donovan McNabb.
Now, with Christian Ponder up to this week, he's obviously getting all the reps as the starter in anticipation of the border battle. Prior to that, is it fair to say that he received minimal opportunity with the first-team offense, and he jumps into that Chicago game, and it was really coming at him that quickly?
You're exactly right. I mean, when you're the backup quarterback, you're not getting very many reps. And for him to come into that ball game when they kept their first defense out, they continued to run their defense. They didn't all of a sudden just play soft defense. They continued to bring pressure. For him to remain as composed and to execute our offense the way he did, I mean, it lets you know that this is a guy that was paying attention all along, was keeping great notes, was prepared if something were to happen. And sure enough, he played well enough to say, you know what, he deserves a start.
After you drafted him, I had a conversation on the radio with his Florida State coach, Jimbo Fisher. And, you know, Jimbo brought up a couple of things that I've never forgotten. One, Christian never worked with a skill position guy at Florida State who was drafted into the NFL. So he had to kind of get around that a little bit. Secondly, the way he sells the play action when he's confident, in that he turns his back to the defense. And not a lot of quarterbacks do that, as you know. Now you look at Cam Newton and Blaine Gabbert and some of these other guys, Andy Dalton, who come out of this full-time shotgun spread. Mm-hmm. It's taken them a while to learn how to do that. Christian selling the play action, is it a strength of his?
Oh, without question. That's one of the things that attracted us. I mean, he came from a pro-style offense. Some of the things that we do on offense were some of the things they did in college, and it's been a smooth transition in that regard. The thing for him now is to gain experience, and that begins this Sunday.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. Christian Ponder coming up at the bottom of the hour on Vikings Live at Winter Park. This is a touchdown game. It's like if you look at the Kansas City game, you could look at it and say this is probably going to be a field goal game. Mm. You know, Succop had those five field goals, and lower scoring game, fewer explosive plays. To beat Green Bay, you got to score touchdowns, right?
Yeah, they put up some points now, and you've got to be able to score. There's no question about it. You don't see their games being 10-3, 9-6. I mean, yeah, they score a lot of points. So we've got to score, and our defense has to find a way to slow them down and get off the field.
32 a game, number one in the NFL, but also the identity of your offense is Adrian Peterson. So it may sound simplistic, but if you can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field by running Adrian, the interesting part is if you do that and it works, but then you get in the red zone, you got to score the touchdown in the red zone, or it's almost for naught. You know what I mean?
We've talked about that all along throughout this week. We don't want to get in the red zone and be kicking field goals against this football team. You need to be able to finish drives with touchdowns, and that's our goal. I mean, we have to be able to do that. Their average, that 32 points a game is not an aberration. They do a good job on with their offense. So we got to find a way to finish with touchdowns.
Update us on your offensive line. Sullivan, concussion, Loadholt missed the second half of the Bears game. What's the status of those two?
Sully, we may or may not get him back. We're still running some tests. We're still trying to determine whether or not we're going to get him. Mm-hmm. Phil has been able to practice. We think he's going to be up for the game. He's looking pretty good.
What about Berger and Patrick Brown when they came in? Did they do okay?
Yeah, they did okay. The game was pretty fast for them, but yep, they both came in and held their own pretty good.
Does Kyle Rudolph's game elevate due to the quarterback switch in that Christian looked for him repeatedly in the preseason?
Well, they do have a bit of a rapport together. They spent a lot of time together doing the lockout, and so there is a natural rapport between the two of them, but we want Christian to be able to spread the football around, but there's nothing wrong with finding Kyle Rudolph either.
A lot of Green Bay's success offensively is predicated on yards after catch. Shoot, Jordy Nelson made two guys miss, and there he goes for 93. Greg Jennings does it almost every play. With your team, Percy Harvin, do you think that whether it's execution from the quarterback or play calling, that he needs to be put in a better position to have more yards after catch?
You know, we're trying different ways to get him the football, as you know, whether it be reverses, whether it be quick screens. You know, we want to get the football in Percy's hands to allow him to get those yards after catch. And he's done a great job in doing that, and we'll continue to work towards that.
Why has Green Bay allowed so many passing yards?
I think a lot of it has to do with where teams are in the ball game that are playing against them. Their offense does a great job of scoring.
Yep.
So you find yourself early in the game having to throw every down. So you're going to accumulate some yards, but they've done a good job of limiting the points.
Christian Ballard had a couple of sacks in the preseason. Saw him play defensive end at the end of the Chicago game. How's he coming along so far? Has it been a little slow to go?
You know, he's coming along like a lot of rookies at this stage, especially on the defensive line. I mean, he's still learning a lot of things, but he's getting better. Every day he gets a little bit better.
Wednesday, your press conference, you mentioned after talking about Christian that there could be some rotational changes, as you mentioned. Would you care to share, or do you want to save that to Sunday?
I think I'll save it to Sunday. There are some things that we're looking at and just trying to see how it might help us to improve as a team.
Could Toby Gerhart, with more opportunity, be your version of Matt Forte? And it's a high-end example. And I'm not the guy that's going to say, hey, Jake Plummer is going to be the next Joe Montana because somebody else said it. But he catches it well. He's smart. He picks up the blitz. I know he's bigger, but he's not as fast. But when I see Matt Forte, I kind of think Toby Gerhart a little bit, you know?
Toby has a chance to be a very good back in our league. He catches the ball very well out of the backfield. He's a power runner who can be elusive, more elusive than people realize. It just so happens you're playing behind the best running back in the National Football League. But
yep,
we're glad that he's on our team. We know what his capabilities are, and it's tough to get reps for him at running back because of who he plays behind.
A few quickies here with Leslie Frazier to close. Just a couple of minutes to go in this part of Vikings Live at Winter Park. Greg Jennings, what makes him special?
Oh, you know, he has great hands, sure enough.
He makes you grunt.
Yeah, tremendous speed.
Seen a lot of film, right?
Tremendous quickness, but the yards after the catch is what really gets your attention. You know,
yeah,
there are guys in position to make plays, and they can't tackle them. And you go, wow, you know, it's, you know, we got to come up with a way to corral this guy. So that's the thing that really sticks out, the yards after the catch.
Jordy Nelson.
A guy who is a big receiver who has continued to improve over his career. You know, originally when he came in, you looked at him as a possession type guy, but all of a sudden, you know, you see explosive plays made by him as well. So he's improved every year.
Your team, Jared Allen, 9.5 sacks. When he got that strip sack at Chicago, left tackle tried to get him, and then center Roberto Garza came over, kind of floated over and chipped him too, and Jared still made that play happen. Jared's very much at peace right now, and he's just having a wonderful season.
Oh, he's having a terrific season, and a lot has to do with the way he approached this season through what he did in the offseason. He really came in determined to play much better than he did a year ago and to try to help our team in turn. So he's been great for our team. He's off to a great start, and just hope to see him continue to build on what he started.
Thanks a lot for the conversation. Good luck this weekend. Keep everybody healthy, and good luck with Christian, okay?
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. James Saxon, the running backs coach, coming up shortly. And that conversation with Leslie was provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Don't forget Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience, free wings and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Christian Ponder coming up shortly. And we thank Leslie Frazier for joining us. Happy to be joined now by Minnesota Vikings running backs coach James Saxon. James, welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park.
Thank you for having me.
You were with the Miami Dolphins last year. And looking through your bio before we talk about some things outside of your stable, Adrian Peterson, Toby Gerhart, Lorenzo Booker, I think it's interesting that you were the running backs coach during the time that they extensively used the Wildcat with Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams. It's unconventional. What was it like?
Well, it was a lot of fun, first of all. You know, those guys had a lot of success with it. We just had to find something at that point to try to generate some offense, and that's what we came up with.
And even here with the Vikings, with Joe Webb out of the Blazer, or other teams trying to run whatever their version of the single-wing offense would be, you never really saw consistent success from those other teams, but you always saw it from Miami. Why was that?
Well, we spent a lot of time going through the actual offense itself. We had some coaches there who were very familiar with it, and guys like David Lee and George DeLeon. And we kind of transferred over to, you know, some of the things that our players that we had down there could do.
Do you have to have a certain type of running back to do it? Like, was Ronnie Brown, was he really good at it because he could throw the ball a little bit too?
Well, you know, what people don't really realize, you know, Ronnie didn't throw it very much out of it. But he was a very smart player, a good football player, obviously. And we just kind of tried to tailor it to some of the things that he was, you know, that, you know, produced his strengths.
Last question on your days as running backs coach with the Miami Dolphins. James Saxon, Vikings running backs coach, is our guest. With the single wing, with the Wildcat, when you run it as, in essence, your base offense, would it be fair to call it the base offense for what it was with the Miami Dolphins?
Well, a lot of people, you know, as much exposure as that offense got, it was a very small percentage of our overall offense.
I mean,
if you go back and you look at the numbers in terms of the total number of plays we'd run in a season, that would probably come up to about 10% of what we actually did.
Interesting.
The big plays that happen in it, those are the things you remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do it correctly, you can create some space on offense.
When you would have success with it and you would look back at the previous game on film, when you would set up in that formation, what would you see with defenses when they were caught off guard? People just running all over the place trying to fill gaps?
Well, you know, that's the tough part about running that offense in the NFL. You never know what you're going to get. So we had to kind of predict, you know, through a lot of different hours trying to come up with ways to try to block the, you know, every different front we could possibly think of and what defenses would try to do to stop it. And that's where we ended up. And it got to be very encompassing after a while.
Your son is on the Harvard football team. What's his name and tell us about him?
Well, his name is Devin. He's a senior. He's playing safety there, but he's not playing much. He's just enjoying life as a football player and
wow.
He's a student. And my wife and I are very proud of him. He's gone through, which is his fourth year now, and he's still there, so we're excited, and we're excited for the future for him.
That's just fantastic. Do guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Burke, even an old schooler like Isaiah Kazavinsky, do players who played at Harvard, do they come back to the university and talk to the kids and stuff like that?
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting because, you know, I asked my son a lot of questions, and as any other 21-year-old, they don't have a lot of time for parents after.
Well, they got a text.
Yeah, there's a lot of texting going on, but, you know, he's met a few of those guys, but you know, it's a very small fraternity with those guys who've gone through that school, just like all the Ivies. And you know, we're just very fortunate he had an opportunity to go there.
Well, what does he want to be? What does he want to do for a career? I mean, when you're Harvard trained, it's the sky's the limit.
Well, you know, he's just like every other 21-year-old who's a senior. I think my wife and I are hoping he wants to go to grad school. I think that's the plan somewhere in the future. But, you know, right now is what he wants to do. You know, I'm just trying to get him to convince him to do something that he enjoys.
James Saxon, running backs coach for the Vikings, talking about his son Devin, who plays for the Harvard football team, is a senior safety. Last question on Devin. To get a student athlete into Harvard, is he naturally gifted? Is he a naturally smart kid? You know, what I guess the question would be, what's the route to get a kid into Harvard?
I think if you have a good mom
especially if you're a coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my wife did an outstanding job with him, and I guess I can get some of the credit for, you know, being the heavy when I needed to be the heavy, but he's worked very hard at to get to where he is. And, you know, again, he's a 21-year-old, and you'd be surprised at how many smart kids out there who could actually go to that school and succeed, who probably don't think they can. And it's just a matter of trying to get in.
James, you've gone from Menlo Park, which is in Northern California, just south of San Francisco, to the Kansas City Chiefs, Miami Dolphins, and here. Is it difficult as a coach moving your family around and relocating? And, you know, obviously, knock on wood for you, man, it hasn't held your son back scholastically or athletically.
Yeah, well, we made some sacrifices along the way in terms of wanting to have him be in one school. Like my wife and I had an opportunity to do. Well, my wife, really, she, during her schooling years, I want to say she went to 10 different schools growing up. And, yeah. You know, we didn't want that for him. So what we did was while I was in Kansas City, they stayed in California. So we got him stable in one environment. And I think that that was an important factor in helping him succeed the way he did academically.
James, you've been very blessed just in looking back at your past performances. Clearly, it sounds like you have a wonderful family. You played in the National Football League for several years. Then you get into your coaching career. You're with Kansas City when Larry Johnson and Priest Holmes had their best days. You go to Miami. They unveil the Wildcat. Everybody wants to talk about that and watch that, and it works. Now you're here with Adrian Peterson. You've had a very blessed run.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. And, you know, and the good part is, you know, the people I've worked for have been very good to me. And I'm just happy to have the opportunity. I'm very, very happy to be working with Coach Frazier and the rest of the coaches here. I think it's a tremendous place to be. Football-wise, I think, you know, this football team has an opportunity to do some great things.
To our team in a second, just last question outside of the Vikings. Priest Holmes, a multifaceted back, ran it well, caught it well, really, really had some terrific years after he really was pilfered from the Baltimore Ravens. Bad loss for the Ravens, excellent for the Kansas City Chiefs. What was it like working with Priest Holmes?
Tremendously gifted athlete, tremendous person, very, very intelligent, was very determined about what he wanted to become as a football player. He did everything you asked him to do, and he prepared himself like no other guy I've been around. It was just we were very fortunate to convince him to come to Kansas City in a time where we needed a guy who could be the bell cow for the type of offense we were running.
What's it like working with Adrian Peterson? And the dynamic I'm going to draw is, I mean, I've been around the team for 10 years, so I've seen different running coaches come and go, including the most recent one, Eric Bieniemy, who went off to Colorado. Leslie gets the job. Here you are. You're a lot more soft-spoken than Eric. Eric was louder and just a little more in your face with Adrian than from what I've been told you are and from what I've seen. How does Adrian Peterson need to be coached to get the best out of him?
Well, you know, the only thing I want to do as a coach is get the information to the player. I mean, I can know as much as the next guy, but it doesn't really help the player if he doesn't know the information. And the way I've always handled every guy I've ever been around in terms of coaching is it's a reciprocal relationship. I mean, it's a two-way street. You got to get to know the kid and how they learn, because I believe that every one of these athletes who end up in the NFL are intelligent enough to learn, and you just have to figure out a way how to get the message across. And Adrian's, you know, no different than the other ones. He's very, very bright, and he's very eager. And on top of that, he's a very good football player.
And he wants to go for 175 every game, and he's always going 150 miles per hour. And, you know, getting Adrian to slow down during the course of games and see it clearly and hit the right holes and pick up the right guy and everything, you know, that's been something that's been important to his career during his very illustrious career. How do you get him to slow down and be patient and hit the right hole?
Well, it's not about one guy playing against 11 people. It's about you being one of the 11, and yeah. You have to trust the other 10 guys you're playing on offense with. You have to know what your angles are, and I try to talk to him about that quite a bit, and he listens and he understands, and I'm very, very pleased with the production that we're having on offense. You know, otherwise, you know, I'd like to have more wins right now, but yep. Just like everybody, but you know, it's a constant. You know, we were going to continuously work together and keep those lines of communication open.
A couple of quickies to close here for James Saxon, running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Toby Gerhardt, stud at Stanford, seemed to be a little overwhelmed at times last year, but that happens to a lot of rookies in the NFL. We could tell in the preseason by just watching the games that, boom, he was hitting the hole with more confidence. You know, but he only gets about 2 carries a game, and he was taken in the second round. So obviously he's going to want to play more, and you have to run that balance between having probably the best running back in the NFL and then a talented guy behind him. How do you keep him motivated?
Well, you know, I think anybody who's around a great running back, like a guy like Adrian Peterson, you got to understand that he's going to be on the field. And one thing that, you know, I talked to to Toby about quite a bit is he's just got to be prepared. He's got to be able to get the reps without taking the reps, and that's visually. So he's done a great job in terms of understanding what he has to do when he gets his opportunities. And let me tell you something, this guy is a very, very good football player. And when you watch Adrian and then you watch him, you know, it's hard to, you know, to compare the two because they're two totally different people and athletes. And but Toby's a very, very good football player, and we're very fortunate to have him here.
Let me ask you this about Toby. We just saw the Bears with Matt Forte, and this is obviously Matt Forte at a high level. He's been in the league longer, faster than Toby, but also smaller than Toby. If Toby Gerhardt had more opportunity, could he be a Matt Forte type in that he catches it well, very smart, seems to be very secure with the blitz pickup, and he's hitting the hole pretty well? Is that his style of game if he had more opportunity?
Well, there's no question. You know, what I tell the guys in our room anyway, I said, if you're on this football team, if you're sitting in this room, I don't want any guy to think about themselves as a backup. You have to prepare yourself like you're a starter. And if you go in a game, I mean, it's not, oh, I'm going in a game to fill in for this guy for this. No, you're going in there to want to make plays. I mean, that's everybody's job. If you're one of the 53 guys on an NFL roster, there is no redshirt year. I mean, you're here to produce, and that's what Coach Frazier, when he makes the final roster, that's what he expects from every guy here, including coaches.
And last question, Lorenzo Booker, third running back, starting to get more touches, had a really nice game in the Arizona game. Is he more your responsibility or Mike Prefer's in that he's a kick returner?
No, he's a running back. I mean, this guy, everybody has a position to play on his football team, and you know, some guys get a chance to play at their position, at their responsible position on this roster, than others, and it's the same way. If you're not a starter in the National Football League, you got to contribute on special teams. Those two go hand in hand. And I made my living in the NFL, and I wasn't a starter, and I knew, hey, if I wanted to stick around, I'd better be a dang-on productive special teams player. And I think that's what everybody has to do that's not one of the 22 starters.
That was an absolute treat. Bless you, and best of luck to your family. Best of luck this weekend against the Green Bay Packers, and thanks for taking time to join us.
All right, thank you for having me on.
James Saxon, running back coach for the Minnesota Vikings. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park. Christian Ponder around the corner on the Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. We thank head coach Leslie Frazier for joining us. We talked extensively about our next guest with the head coach. We also thank running backs coach James Saxon for joining us. And now we're pleased to be joined by quarterback Christian Ponder. Gets an opportunity this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. Congratulations, Christian. I know you've heard that a million times now.
Yep.
You've probably answered a million questions just in the last couple of days. But now that you've taken in 2 days of practice and you go out there as the quarterback getting all the reps, what's it been like? Is it super exciting?
It is super exciting. And I really like the way that I've practiced all week. And I've gotten a lot more comfortable with what I'm doing and a lot more confident. And I think so far the whole team's had a great week of practice, and I think we have the right mindset going into this game, and what a great opportunity it is for myself and for this team.
Now, a lot of listeners through with the flagship FM 100.3 throughout the Twin Cities, you know, they've probably heard you or seen you on TV around here, but this is the Vikings Radio Network, 70 some odd stations all throughout the upper Midwest. For those who just know you were the 12th overall pick, they heard you played at Florida State, where are you from? What are some things that you enjoy to do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Tampa, Florida. Lived there until I was five, and then moved to Dallas, Texas. Grew up in Texas. Played about every sport that was available growing up, but obviously fell in love with football. And it's always kind of been a sports-oriented family. Growing up playing every sport, and then doing stuff outside of sports. I love fishing. I love playing golf, and I love movies. So I'm a pretty relaxed guy. So, yeah, I just love the game.
What was draft day like for you when the Vikings took you 12th overall?
It was, I think, number one, exciting, and number two was a relief. And, it literally was a dream come true to be drafted. Not only drafted, but drafted in the first round. And what a great moment it was for myself and my family. And extremely proud of myself that I've gotten here. But knew, once that pick came, it had a lot of work to do ahead of me.
Did you get caught up in any of the publications or websites or NFL Network or anything who was like, hey, Christian's arm strength, despite the Bursaschak injury, he looks like a high first round, early second round guy, and then boom, lo and behold, 12th overall.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to avoid, not hearing those things being said. And, I kind of went in with a chip on my shoulder, I think my junior year I was projected to go in the first round, and then I had an injury where I think ninth game of the year I missed the rest of the season, so I knew I had to come back. And you know, had an okay senior year, battled some different injuries with the elbow deal, and knew at the end of the season I was looking at maybe a third round pick. So I knew I had to had a lot of stuff to be made up. So I went in with that mindset to work hard and went to the Senior Bowl, got MVP at the Senior Bowl, had a really good showing at the combine, and then had great meetings with coaches and the workouts when they came down here when I went on my team visits, and everything just kind of worked together. And I know a lot of coaches went back to that junior film and saw what I did, and fortunate for me, the Minnesota Vikings gave me a chance.
Did it bug you when some of the draft analysts were knocking on your arm strength? And, you know, really until talking to you or Jimbo Fisher, didn't know the extent of the injury. And, you know, like Jimbo Fisher told me on my radio show right after you were drafted, he's like, we had to cut that thing off at the ends of games. You know, you had to drain it and everything, and you couldn't get it off. And, you know, Christian continued to play through it. I'm not saying it was misinformation, but a lot of misguided opinions.
Well, it was a lot of misinformation. A lot of people thought that it was actually, you know, something that happened with my elbow, and what the injury was, it was my forearm, and this fluid just kept building up and building up in each game. I think it happened in the sixth game of the year, and each game I get a drain once or twice during the week, and then, you know, I'd get hit on it the next game, and like the first, second drive of the game, it'd swell up all over again, and it was a hindrance at times. But, you know, with those draft analysts, I think you can't put too much weight in what they say, and I never let it bother me. I knew that the real opinion that counted were the coaches, and that's the impact that I tried to make on them was, you know, showing at the Senior Bowl and the combine that I was okay.
You played high school football in Texas, correct?
Yep.
How'd you end up at Florida State?
My dad played at Florida State, and my mom went there as well. I had aunts and uncles that went there, and you know, I grew up a Florida State fan, and it was always my dream to play for Bobby Bowden.
And your dad played in the NFL, correct?
He did. He was a special teams guy for the Cowboys for a couple of years, and was on the rosters for the Bills and the Raiders, and also played in the CFL.
And he played for the Dallas Cowboys when they were pretty good, correct?
Yeah, he did. He did. He got that opportunity, and he actually got to play for Coach Landry, which was obviously a great opportunity for him.
You know, and you see Leslie Frazier, and I'm not going to say he's stoic, but he's a very mellow, calm, peaceful going type coach. And, you know, then just less than a week removed, Christian, from seeing Jim Schwartz try to go WWE on Jim Harbaugh, here you have Leslie Frazier. He couldn't be any more opposite. Yeah. And, you know, Tom Landry, the coach for whom your dad played, he was pretty mellow that way. And, you know, you can be peaceful and calm and eventually find ways to win, correct?
Oh, you can easily. Each coach kind of figures out what works for them. And you know, there's not one right coaching style. And we all love Coach Frazier. We think he's an unbelievable coach. He's definitely a guy that players want to play for, and I'm definitely enjoying the opportunity to play for him.
Christian Ponder's our guest. We'll spend a few minutes on the Green Bay Packers momentarily. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park, and I'm Paul Allen. Playing at Florida State in the same state with the University of Miami, South Beach, then you have the Florida Gators. I mean, Central Florida and South Florida, they've also emerged a little bit, too, and put some good players in the NFL. What is college football like in the state of Florida, and how do the Seminoles distinguish themselves from the other big schools?
Well, playing in Florida was great, and having those competitions against University of Florida and Miami every year was really fun. And those were huge rivalries for us, and those were games that we always look forward to. And they were heated at times, and you know, had the chance to play against Percy Harvin, and which was great. But you know, Florida State, you know, there's so much history there, and that was, you know, one of the big things that I wanted to go there. I think For 14 straight years, they finished in the top five, which is unbelievable, and which probably might not ever happen again. But, you know, a lot of history there, and then Coach Bowden, you know, a guy that coached there for 34 years. You know, we'll probably never see that again.
Yep. Christian Ponder's our guest. In the preseason, you know, you played behind a backup offensive line, and you were playing with the twos and the threes at the skill position spots. And, you know, really back at Florida State, even though you had some good teams, Jimbo Fisher told me that you never played with any players, skill position guys who were drafted into the NFL. And here we go Sunday against the Super Bowl champions with Rookie of the Year Percy Harvin, Rookie of the Year Adrian Peterson, even Michael Jenkins, first-round pick from Ohio State X amount of years ago. Big opportunity and legitimately good players around you.
Yeah, and I'm in such a good position, and I think any quarterback would want to take my spot. You're not only having Adrian Peterson to hand the ball off to, but then having Percy and Jenkins and Bernard Berrien, and then then having great tight ends in Shanko and the rookie Kyle Rudolph and Kleinsaucer, and then having the veteran O-line. I mean, I'm in really comfortable position, and you know, a lot of pressure is taken off me when I just got to get the ball to the playmakers and let them do all the work.
Define huddle presence. Not to say you have it yet because you haven't started an NFL game, but we saw it here with Brett Favre, and other teams have seen it throughout the years, and it's very important, obviously, for a quarterback to get in that huddle in a big spot, tight game, late in the game, and you're calm while everybody else is nervous.
Yeah, you know, huddle presence is taking control of that that huddle, and like you said, in big time moments, you know, you have to sell the play. You know, whether you agree with the play or not, I mean, they're looking in your eyes, and you have to show the confidence that, hey, this is going to work. I have full confidence in whatever we're going to do. And, you know, 4th and 4 against the Green Bay Packers on the last drive of the game. You know, we're going to go out and do it.
Yeah, and you'll look over there and you'll be like, wow, Clay Matthews, A.J. Hawk, Charles Woodson, and so on. I mean, some big-timers over there, even B.J. Raji immediately across from you, who had a wonderful postseason run last year. Do you think, Christian, that they'll stack the box and be simplistic in that, here's the deal, if we slow Adrian, this is this guy's first start, and we're going to try to make him beat us?
Yeah, I really expect him to do that. I think you know, they know that our strength is a running game, and they're going to try to put the pressure on a rookie quarterback in his first game, his first start. You know, looking back at the film, the previous game they played against St. Louis, they basically only had, you know, two high safeties, maybe 6-7 plays in the whole game, you know, trying to stop that run that Steven Jackson, his threat. And So that's exactly what I'm expecting, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on our passing game, and we got to go out and execute it.
And they're 31st in the league against the pass, but that's a little skewed. That's a little sketchy because they jump up on teams like St. Louis, and then Bradford and the Rams go up and down the field, can't score inside the red zone, but a lot of teams are getting large chunks of yardage against them outside of the Saints in the first game, you know, because they're throwing the ball to catch up, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. And if you look at, I think the biggest stat that stands out is I think Green Bay's let, what, 3 points in the past 6 quarters.
Jeez.
And
that's awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean,
what a great challenge.
That is a great challenge for us. And so we know we got to be out there on the top of our game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what your approach is, Christian, but every time on the radio this week I heard tough place to start, champions, Charles Woodson, I'm like, great. The kid, he's 12th overall pick in the draft. I mean, if he doesn't come out and go for 353-0 in this game, big deal.
Yeah.
But guys like that embrace moments like this.
Yeah, it's such an exciting moment for me, and I wouldn't want to start in any other game. I mean, what a great opportunity, and like I said before, I mean, there's no pressure on me. You know, people, I don't know what people want to expect, but you know, say we go out and win this game, and you know, maybe there'll be a statue of me built in downtown Minneapolis.
Right next to Sid Hartman, next to the Target Center. That'd be unbelievable. Hartman and Ponder.
Which I didn't even know he had a statue. I heard
Sid
he's
the
got
kid.
One down there. Yeah.
Oh, he is. I'll tell you what, if you finish your pro sports career as well-known nationally and well-respected as he is, then you've done yourself something nicely. Hey, we're very happy for you. Congratulations. I know you've worked hard to get here. Best of luck to you, and hopefully you can go out and beat Green Bay, okay?
I appreciate it, Paul.
Christian Ponder, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. When we return, we handicap the game with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings.
This is Adrian Peterson. You're listening to The Fan.
Final segment on Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Leslie Frazier, running backs coach James Saxon, quarterback Christian Ponder. Thank you very, very much for joining us. And also thanks to everybody throughout the Vikings Radio Network for not only listening to this radio show weekly, but believing in the product, which is 1-5 coming into the border battle this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. And speaking of that game, make sure to join me and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Monticello for a Friday football feast. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com and on my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Speaking of .coms, Mike Wobshaw controls the content for Vikings.com. He closes Vikings Live at Winter Park with us each and every week. Border Battle, your thoughts.
Well, PA, great to be on with you. And I tell you, I mean, this is a fun week. Whether you're 1-5 or 5-1, you're playing the Green Bay Packers.
I agree.
It's just a game that everybody gets up for.
Yeah.
And especially with Green Bay being who they are, coming off a Super Bowl season, obviously. And from the 10,000 foot view, I think this is a game where it's easy as a Vikings fan or people like you and I to feel overwhelmed by this team and think it's a complete mismatch and there's no chance. But that's where it's fun to try and find a couple angles where maybe you can take take advantage of a weakness or two. And I think this Packers team has a couple that the Vikings can try and crack. And then you add in the fact that Christian Ponder is playing, starting his first game. That gives you a little more pep in your step. Who knows what can happen? We always say when we go to Soldier Field, weird things happen there. Sometimes weird things can happen at Mall of America Field for Green Bay, the way we got after Aaron Rodgers in 2009. And yep, it'd be nice to make something like that happen again this
Wobby,
year.
Wobby, there may be people listening right now, specifically those in the Twin Cities market who follow our work at The Fan or KFAN.com, who may think we're delusional because of how badly we want the team to win. Mm-hmm. Not many people listening right now, if any, want the team to win more than Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. And, you know, we put the negativity from the Bears game behind us by like Tuesday. You deal with the negativity via the mailbag. I do it via the radio show. And it's a necessary evil,
yep,
because 39-10 stinks. And when you get beat 39-10, you're going to have people who have legitimate problems with a 1-5 football team. And they bring up a lot of cogent arguments and takes leading up to the next game. But when you replace the quarterback and you go with a guy we both are very fond of, and he's the 12th overall pick in the draft, it's an immediate attention diversion.
Yes.
And you start to think what he can do. You see Antoine Winfield has practiced on a limited basis the last 2 days. I couldn't pin Leslie Frazier down on Antoine Winfield earlier. He didn't want to talk about it, which is an indicator to me that he's probably going to play on Sunday, which is a good thing.
It'd be great.
And you talk about the unpredictability of 2009 with Mall of America Field. That was a very high-level year. A very, very productive year for Minnesota Vikings football. But you had a couple of games there where you beat the San Francisco 49ers with 2 seconds to go, Favre to Lewis, and you're losing to the Baltimore Ravens, and former Viking Steven Hauschka hooks one left, yeah, and you miraculously kind of win that game, a game Antoine Winfield left and Joe Flacco picked on Carl Pema.
Yes.
And it was a super high-scoring game. That's the positive side of it. Okay, we're big underdogs against Green Bay. Place is going to be loud. Christian's in the game. Let's play.
Right, exactly. And there's something to be said for Christian coming into a scenario where a lot of people don't even give him a shot. And that's a far different cry than coming into a scenario where maybe you start the season as the quarterback and there are some expectations for you to play well. Yep. And Christian has said it all week. I don't know what people's expectations are of me, but I'm confident and I think that we can find some success against this team. I'm going to be interested to see how the Vikings offense operates differently with Christian at quarterback, because
yep,
as you and I have discussed privately and on air, we think there are a few subtle changes, maybe even some major ways that this offense changes.
Yep.
And obviously, with all due respect to those involved in the offense so far, a lot of things need to change because the production just hasn't been there. And it would be very interesting to watch how this offense operates and how Bill Musgrave kind of molds it going forward.
Yeah, and with Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, and with Christian Ponder, the beauty of it is and the fun of it is for guys like you and I who are around the team, you're around every day, I'm around a fair amount, is watching the maturation of an investment. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a stock. The Vikings have purchased this stock for future dividends. Now, how does he respond when he gets hit? How does he bounce back? How does he respond when he closes on a receiver, there's pass interference, he doesn't get the call, and he gets frustrated? How does he respond when he's not permitted to call audibles as much as he wants because they're going slowly with him and he has to handle that? It's watching the growth progress,
yeah,
a process that's a lot of fun.
Yes, and seeing him learn from mistakes. When we'll see him make he's bound to make a mistake against
Great
Green
point.
Bay. Now, when we suit up and play Carolina, how does he look against Carolina? Does he make that same mistake when,
yep,
we come back from the bye? That sort of thing. And I remember before the season started, you had Jimbo Fisher on your radio show, and listening to him talk about Christian Ponder, granted he was his college coach, he's,
yep,
going to say nice things about it, I know that.
But, I know what you mean.
But I mean, listening to the way he talked about him and the confidence he had in him,
mm-hmm,
and some of the attributes that he described in Christian Ponder, it makes you excited to see what this kid has.
2 minutes to go. Give me some Green Bay Packers sneaky stats.
Well, I mean, you don't want to take anything away from them because they're undefeated and they won the Super Bowl, but every team isn't perfect everywhere, and Green Bay is no exception, and this team is it's a team that has a secondary that gives up a lot of long passes.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to do that. Now, what you got to do is protect the quarterback so that the receivers have time to run those routes. I think that's one area. Now, Sam Shields is one of their cornerbacks who may not play, suffered a concussion last week. That might hurt their depth a little bit.
Yeah.
I really want to see Bill Musgrave and Christian Ponder challenge this secondary, get the ball into the receiver's hands, and make this defense cover them and make them tackle. That's one area I want to see. And then on the other side of the ball for the Vikings defensively, you just cannot discount Jared Allen.
Yep.
And what the effect he can have on a game. Chad Clifton, their left tackle, is out. They're going to have Marshall Newhouse in there probably. This is an offensive line that's gritty and tough, but it's not full of all pros. They have some leaks in it, and if Kevin Williams and Jared Allen can expose some of those leaks, this thing could get pretty interesting. I mean, this team sacked Aaron Rodgers 18 times in 2008 and 2009, and they didn't get after him last year, but there's no reason they can't get after him this year, and if a couple of those things can come together, I like the Vikings' chances, and we got to button up our special teams also.
Yep, and in closing, the last time Green Bay came in here with a replacement left tackle, it was during the game. His name was Alan Barber. It was on Monday Night Football with a bunch of twins on the sidelines after 163, watching Jared Allen do his thing. Jared has 9.5 sacks. He's had a sack in eight consecutive games. Gets another one. That's a Vikings record, yeah. And he would pass the likes of Jim Marshall and Carl Eller. So good luck to Jared, and thank you very much for joining the show. You do great work.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Mike Wapshaw, Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. We thank Ryan Donaldson, Jay Nelson, John Ekstrom, Tom West, along with Jesse Krall, our assistant producer today on Vikings Live at Winter Park. We thank Leslie Frazier with running backs coach James Saxon and new quarterback Christian Ponder, all guests on the podcastable Vikings Live at Winter Park. On behalf of all of us here at Winter Park and specifically the sponsor Sports Authority, thanks for listening to the show. Good luck to the Vikings this weekend. Listen to the game on the Vikings Radio Network.